What I want to do is take 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes to discuss a issue that I get emailed about quite a bit. And the question is, well, it isn't a question, it's a statement. And that statement is that Christianity is Jewish. And it usually comes from white nationalists, people who are our kinsmen and who are awake to the fact that we do have an enemy. And we're grateful for that. But unfortunately, the secular white nationalists don't like Christianity too much. And they're fond of saying that Christianity is not the answer because it's Jewish. And I'm going to try to dispel a few of these myths surrounding that claim tonight. And I'll turn this into a Kinism FAQs section. And while this one isn't specifically about Kinism, it's an objection from white nationalists about Christianity, and we believe that Christianity and Kinism are one. And so this will be the first of the installments of Kinism FAQs. First, let's talk about this claim that Christianity was Jewish. It usually takes two or three parts. Jesus was Jewish, or we'll hear that Christianity springs from Judaism, and then there'll be some ethical objections. Which amounts to these are the things that I think Christianity teaches, and Jews would love those kind of teachings, so they can't be truly unique. They're just Jewish. So I want to first start off with this objection that Jesus was Jewish. This is a claim you hear a lot. Unfortunately, it's even heard by Christians. It's even comes from their bumper stickers. My boss is a Jewish carpenter, for example. That's a ridiculous bumper sticker. Jesus was of the Hebrew or Israelite tribe of Judah. And the English designation for the tribe of Judah was Jew, at least for a time. And when the Edomites converted to Judaism during the Maccabean Revolt, however, we see Jew being used as a designation for those living in the geographical area of Judea. Notice that Edomite King Herod was called a Jew. This is obviously a geographic, not a tribal or ethnic designation. And today we've got other groups of Jews who, like the Edomites, have nothing to do with either the tribe of Judah or the old geographic of the old geographic area of Judea. We're thinking here of Ashkenazi Jews, who are the Jews we think of when we hear the word Jew. This is the dominant Jewish group in Israel, Europe, America. They are the ones who control our media, schools, and government. Think of the scummy whiner Abe Foxman or legislative snakes like Senator Dianne Feinstein, or media moguls like Gerald Levin and Summer Redstone. These are what we think of today as Jews. And that's why you can find articles online entitled things like Jesus was not a Jew. What this means is not that Jesus was not an Israelite or a Judahite, or that he wasn't from the land of Judah, but that Jesus is not from the same tribe of these Zionist enemies who I just named, called Jews. Nor was Jesus of Judaism, which leads to the next point, this criticism that Christianity springs from Judaism, so it must be Jewish. In short, no. The mistake here is to liken the Old Testament religion to Judaism, but rather the Old Testament religion, according to Christian theology, is Christocentric. It's Christian. The laws are Christian. The doctrine is Christian. Now, there is indeed a covenant administration change during the New Testament times, with the completion of Christ's sacrificial ministry, where we see some laws and ordinances and rituals ceasing because they prefigured Christ's earthly ministry. The nation of Israel is best seen, as the Westminster Confession of Faith puts it, as a church under age. So think of it as the Old Testament is the church under age, the New Testament is the church of age. Now, between the writing of these two testaments, Old and New, during the Babylonian exile, there was a wicked group among the exiled tribes, or some say perhaps a foreign tribe called the Edomites, and they developed an oral tradition which was contrary to the Old Testament and which Jesus denounces as the tradition of the elders. You can see John chapter 5 and Mark chapter 7. This oral tradition began to be written down as the Talmud right around 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, and it continued to be written down and developed on into the 6th century. Now, this Talmud, unlike the Bible, teaches anti-Christian, anti-Gentile doctrines such as Jewish supremacy, that you can lie to, steal from, and even kill a non-Jew with impunity. It justifies sexual perversions, teaches blasphemies about Jesus Christ, nasty things about his mother. So this is not the Old Testament. This is the authoritative religious text for Judaism, the Talmud. This is why Jesus would say things like, "You heard it was said, but I say unto you." He was correcting these perverted Jewish, Judaistic, anti-Christian doctrines and accretions. One text in Matthew 23 or 24, I believe, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent her, or sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." This is not a general evangelical call to all the sheep. He's criticizing the leaders. "I've wanted to come to your children, but you, leaders, weren't willing." He's railing against the Jewish Talmudic leaders here. The point is Judaism, therefore, is Talmudic. It's not biblical, and as such, it has nothing to do with Christianity, which is biblical. The point can't be emphasized enough that Christianity does not spring from Judaism. It's anachronistic to say that, but Judaism springs from hell and from the Talmud, which is an absolute perversion of the Old Testament and thus a denial of it. Jesus told the Pharisees, "If you believed Moses, which was part of the Old Testament, you would believe me." Yet they rejected him intensely, and they replaced the Old Testament's focus of worship of God through his mediator, Christ, with basically a worship of rabbis, specifically, and Jews generally. The Messiah of Christianity is Jesus, while the Messiah of Judaism is the self-worshipping Jewish people themselves. By the way, there's no Judeo-Christian tradition. That's insane, because the two are at enmity with each other. Let's deal with the ethical objections to Christianity that some of these folks have. Now, of course, these are misrepresentations of Christianity, but even if they were legit, I've always wondered about the standard used to judge these things. Most white nationalists who hate Christianity, they have an ethic that reduces to the will of the white man, or might makes right. They've got a penchant for the naturalistic fallacy, which is when you try to derive morality from nature. The Christian position, quickly, is that ethics come from an absolute, transcendent, yet personal God via divine revelation, and those ethics reflect his holy character. Here's one. One person writes, "We're told by churches there's no need to worry about anything. Just have faith in Jesus and make sure you pray and everything will be okay." Now, we can understand this objection because we face pretty hard times right now, and that solution won't get us anywhere. And unfortunately, some Christians do take that pietistic approach. But it's really wrong to say this is the teaching of Scripture. If you look at Jesus, for example, he did pray. He encouraged prayer, but he also got after business. He drove the money changers from the temple. And he even encouraged his followers to arm themselves with, at that time, the strongest weapons of the day. "Sell your coat and buy a sword," he says. So that one doesn't really hold. We're also told not to judge or prejudge, and that's a sin. So we hear this one a lot. It's a misrepresentation. Even Christians do this. It's sad to see it, but people will object that that's an idiotic and stupid doctrine. Well, unqualified, it is idiotic and stupid because we have to make judgments all the time. But if they'll look closely at Scripture and read the passage, that the context is saying that be careful how you judge, because by that standard, you'll be judged. Jesus, for example, he did a lot of judging. He excoriated the Pharisees. And even in John 7:24, for example, says, "Don't judge by mere appearance, but make the right judgment." So Christians do judge. We're supposed to judge. "Love your enemies. Pray for your persecutors. Turn the other cheek." This sounds insane, according to some people. And this one is a little tougher because it comes from the Sermon on the Mount, and it seems like it's an absolute, unqualified ethic. But I want to read from a theologian, an apologist who's now with the Lord, Greg Bonson, says, "Scripture is replete with illustrations of general truths, whose precise qualifications are found only elsewhere. Indeed, the Sermon on the Mount is full of them. We deduce from Turn the Other Cheek that we should presume it our duty to avoid practicing violence toward others, unless Scripture qualifies further, as it does, concerning circumstances such as necessary self-defense or the just defense of others. He continues, we don't conclude from the unqualified form of the maxim, turn the other cheek, that there's no basis here whatsoever for asserting a prohibition on personal violence or vengeance. That's a good point. We have to take the entire Scripture together, and over we see self-defense as justified. Give up all your possessions. There's a text in Acts 4, the multitude which believed had one heart and one soul, and no man did say that any of those things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So people object Christianity can't be worth anything because it teaches this collective socialism stuff, which it doesn't. That text simply means, people, that the early Christians, they shared and they were generous. They didn't tear down their houses and create a commune. Look at the history of the church, the history of Christendom. When do you see socialism, the collective ownership of goods, emphasized and lived out? You don't. That's ridiculous. Scripture teaches private property rights. It also teaches altruism. Put God before your family and yourself. That's an objection to Christianity. We can't do that because we have to protect our family and ourselves. Well, this simply means that we should conduct self-government and family government according to and consistent with our religious worldview. Everyone does this. So replace God or Christianity with your highest ethical authority, beyond which there's no appeal, and you'll see that you do the same thing. It doesn't say neglect your family or neglect yourself and then chase after some irrational God. It says that when you pursue your own family and self-interest, do so consistent with your religion. That's all that means. So I don't think it's a real criticism at all. There is a text where I think Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, and brothers, sisters, yeah, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. And this is simply hyperbole that says, put me, not the Pharisees, first. And I think one last objection I hear a lot is that Christians are obsessed with Jew worship. They love Israel, and they're Zionists, and they think Jews are the chosen people of God. And I can't really fault this objection, because it is true that most Christians do have some sort of special sentiment toward Jews. And it's not biblical. The Bible does not teach that Jews are God's chosen people. We've already talked about what Jew means today. There's no way anybody could ever make the case that people like Abe Foxman and Summer Redstone are God's chosen people, and so we should give them our money and so forth. And one last criticism that could be categorized under the ethical objection, but could also stand alone because it's so popular among white nationalists, is that Christianity's evangelistic inclusion of Jews and blacks and all races poses threats and problems to European communities. We've seen this criticism a lot. Basically, we are told that because we teach that salvation is to all men, then this somehow means that all communities are going to be mixed, or at least the faith community will be mixed. And this is not true. Sharing a common salvation, which I believe the Bible does teach, doesn't mean sharing the same communities or churches or even nations. We're still ethno-nationalists. And because we believe that nations should be racially homogeneous, then this ethno-national stance should preclude these kind of questions in the first place. It's true that Jews and blacks haven't received Christianity anything like the white man has. The Jews have been very hostile toward the Christian community and Europeans. And blacks, even though they're one of the highest professing Christians in terms of racial demographics, they're still very violent. And what's going on? Well, this is a question for a different day, but we do believe that all men are made in God's image, and the gospel call is open to them, and they're free to embrace the holy faith in their own communities and set their own membership strictures. So that salvation in Christ is open to all men doesn't mean that we all mingle and amalgamate. We might have some fellowship, but again, that fellowship's going to be dictated by the socio-demographics, the social makeup of communities and nations, because we're ethno-nationalists, that wouldn't even be a problem. Christianity does teach free association, so if we do have something like a wide awakening of the black man or the Jew here in America, where we still have a multicultural position, we would still be able to set the membership strictures for each individual church. And we saw that in the South, and we can have that again once the civil rights legislation is removed and white Christian churches are allowed to ban blacks from their membership roles, and blacks can ban us, and we can all ban Jews. There's really no problem with that in terms of Christian ethics. So I believe that's another bad objection. But I'm happy to share the common cause of exposing the lies of the establishment. And we do have that common cause with white nationalists. But I'm sick of the senseless Christianity bashing by my fellow kinsmen. Many Christians are duped. Yes, they are. They're statist. They love public schools. They love the feds. They love the military, TV, Jews, Israel. They're not politically involved. When they are, they're politically insane. They're social Marxists. They love MLK. They think that tribalism and love for your own race is racist and evil. They believe lies about history. They employ practices that tear down family, etc., etc. But in many cases, they're useless. But in these areas, they're no different from your average bourgeois garden variety secularist. And these Christians are acting like fools in spite of their professed religion. And I'm sorry for that. Look at it like this. Does your average American care about the Constitution, the constitutional role of the federal government? No. He wants a nanny state to some degree. He wants health care or Social Security or big standing armies, the Federal Reserve, the income tax, IRS. He's happy with these things because he thinks that heavy taxes and huge federal departments are the price for civilization. But this is not what the Constitution teaches. It's not American. These folks are professing Americans, but they're lousy Americans. So there's the analogy. Don't chuck out America because of bad Americans. The abuse doesn't rule out the right use. I think you and I are good Americans, despite the majority who claim the name. TribalTheocrat.com is a kinist website. I believe kinism is true Christianity, and please interact with us. Judge us. We make mistakes, but not the mistakes of 99% of those who claim and trash our faith.